Minnesota Reads on KUMD is supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We are talking about books this morning because, yeah, it's Minnesota Reads. Of course we would. Not just any old book. Old is actually the important word here. 700-year-old books. Dr. Krista Twu joins us this morning in the studios. There is going to be a conversation tonight at the library to talk about some of these amazing old books, actually to talk about literature, but you told me you had a 700-year-old book, and I just can't get over the idea of looking at a book and realizing that someone put their hands on it, wrote it, created it, crafted the cover, crafted the illustrations 700 years ago. Good morning, and thanks for joining the Book Nerd this morning.
Good morning.
Maybe I need to rename the program, The Book Nerd. The Ramsayer Northern Bible Society collection came to the University of Minnesota Duluth back in 1979. Talk about tonight's program and how that all kind of fits in, and talk about how it's relevant to students, because this apparently is going to be very significant to students.
Yes. Well, my students have been using the Ramsayer collection for years and years now in a lot of different ways. We use it to study not only literature, but material book culture, the cultures of reading that have been at play in the past and that have been constant flux. We also use it to study linguistics, and of course, you can use it to study art and religion too.
It wow!
It is a collection that has books from all of the Abrahamic cultures that use the shared set of scriptures. So tonight I'll be showing some Torahs as well as Qurans and Bibles.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. What are the logistics? What's the nitty gritty on how you make these materials available to students when they are so valuable and old and probably fragile that you really shouldn't touch them?
Oh, no. No, you should definitely touch them.
Really?
It's a amazing sensual experience that brings you into very personal connection with the past and the people that produced it. Furthermore, books, especially books with leather covers, they want to be touched. With clean hands.
Right. Do the students have to wear the white cotton gloves like in the movies?
No gloves.
Okay.
No gloves. The gloves are not a best practice anymore because the fibers in the gloves can catch on the fibers in the paper. We don't want that. Your hands are much more sensitive instruments for dealing with the very delicate pages. But mind you, these things have lasted for hundreds and hundreds of years. They're not that fragile.
But there weren't a lot of students touching. I mean, I think about the people that I let touch certain books and the hand slapping that gets to get your hands off that
clean
goes
hands.
On. Clean hands. Okay.
We do a lot of training and conversations about how to handle the books, about how to support the spines, about how to make sure that you're not catching these fibers on different things. Clean hands are the best practice, of course. But for hundreds of years, people have been touching them with their clean hands. And
well,
sometimes
and
they're dirty hands, and sometimes they sneeze on them. And it's all part of the record. Even the residual oils in your hands will nourish the old leather bindings of the books. And so they preserve themselves better if you handle them once in a while.
You can tell because my mouth is hanging open. I want to hear you talk more and more and more about the love of and the use of old books. And in particular, these are holy writings.
Yes.
These are writings that are not only meant to be read by people, but they're supposed to be read by people, and they're supposed to be read a lot.
Absolutely. They're really, you know, using them puts them back into practice. It honors their existence and their history. Obviously, we don't use them as, like, sacred text as such, but you know, we would really like to, now that we're starting to understand better what is in our vaults, we would very much like to involve the communities of faith that they derive from more closely in their study. And
oh, wow. Can you imagine going, you know, to a study group at your local house of worship and having you come in with this beautiful book?
They're not going to leave the library.
Oh,
though.
They're not going to leave the library. Okay, so, yeah, okay, fine. All right. You could Skype in from the library with the book.
You could come to the library.
There you go.
In fact, this archive is open to the community that has good reason to use it. And you can schedule an appointment with the archivist, and you can explore these books, these texts.
I'm really curious. I have a college-age daughter, and she did grow up in a house where she was stumbling over books and where there was a lot of reading of actual books. How do your students react? This is we're dealing with some of the first generations here that if they're going to read something, perhaps they're more likely to read it on their phones or on a computer screen. And how do they react to these books?
They're very moved. Some of them are moved because it's an object of faith for them, but most of them are just moved because it's a totem of our shared dreams and our shared culture and our shared history that goes back these hundreds and hundreds of years. And they feel, as they handle these books, that they're part of this conversation and they're invited into this circle that is looking at the books not only as, of course, you know, carriers of literature, but also important technological objects. We forget, and one of the things I'll talk about tonight is the difference between a scroll and a codex, or what we think of as a book with pages, and how the codex does different things than a scroll. Scrolls, tablets, things like that imply one type of reading culture. Codices imply a different type of reading culture. These days we have electronic reading cultures too, but our language about them, it derives from these old technologies.
What a fascinating way to look at it. And if someone wants to engage you in an argument about whether or not you prefer your Kindle or your phone or a physical book, you don't have to engage in that argument now. You can say, I belong to a different reading culture.
Yeah.
I like that.
And also, why would anybody argue with anybody reading anything?
And that, of course, is the excellent point. I loved when I was actually working part-time at a bookstore just for giggles, except I spent all my money, so that didn't work out very well. But when the Harry Potter books first came out, and there were concerns with certain communities, about was this witchcraft and was this, you know, appropriate reading for kids? And there were a bunch of voices that said, if kids are reading, let them read. And there are a lot of people that really do feel that getting kids involved and getting them excited about reading. Do you have the sense that this particular experience does or does not lead to students maybe spending a little more time with an actual book? Maybe one that they take out of the, you know, something off the current fiction shelf or an autobiography out of the library. Certainly nothing 700 years old, maybe something a year old. Do you have the sense that it translates a little bit, that they kind of go, I wonder what the deal is with this technology?
Well, once my students have been in the archives, they never shut up about it.
So if you hear a bunch of kids walking down the hall chattering about books, you kind of will have an idea where they came from. How exciting. Their program tonight is going to be about the collection a little bit and how it provides experiential learning, not only, as you mentioned, for students, but for the community. And the program is going to be up in that gorgeous rotunda room at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll get a link set up so it'll be easy for folks to find the details. Krista, thanks so much for coming in and talking this morning. It was wonderful to have you. I think we have to go to coffee and talk about book nerd stuff. I think that would be wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Krista Twu joined us this morning as our guest on Minnesota Reads here on KUMD. Minnesota Reads everything, not just new books, 700-year-old books. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.